Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for coming to the service tonight. We'll be in Amos chapter 5. Thank you once again to Brother David McGarity for bringing the message and leading in the service last week. Very much appreciate that, and I always know that you're in good hands when Brother David is standing before you to speak and lead, and I appreciate him very much being willing to do that. And I will tell you, I'm very happy to be in church tonight. I'd much rather be here than, 12 hours on the interstate. So anyhow, yeah, we're thankful the Lord helped us to get Chloe out to the Bill Rice Ranch safely, and she is having a wonderful time and is just encouraged, and it's just been a breath of fresh air for her, and God gave her a roommate that just has just been a great blessing and encouragement to her. So things are going well there. But we're glad to be back, to be in church on Wednesday night. I hope that your week is going well. I was thinking a little bit this evening, again, just about the importance of our midweek service. And it can serve many different purposes, but one thing it can do is this: if your week has not started out well, especially spiritually speaking, this can be a turning point. So, I've blown it. Preacher, Monday, Tuesday, it's just been gone from bad to worse. Well, guess what? Tonight it can turn around, and Thursday and Friday and Saturday going into the Lord's Day can be better. It can be victory, not defeat. And you say, well, praise the Lord, things have been going well and God's given me grace and I'm walking with. Well, this then can serve to just encourage you to keep on keeping on and finish the week strongly and not to blow it from here on. But anyhow, it's such an important service, and I very much appreciate you who come out for this time and honor the Lord in that way, as well as showing your commitment to your fellow believers, to your church family. We're in Amos chapter 5. Tonight our text will be verses 21 through 24. So let's begin and we'll read our text. The Lord said, I hate, and without any kind of conjunction, I hate, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy viols. But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so very much for allowing us to come to church tonight, and what a blessing it is to be with your people and to be in your presence, Lord. And we thank you that you have promised to be with us tonight as we meet in your name. Thank you for ministering to our hearts through the music and, Lord, speaking to us. We pray now that as we open your word, please, by the ministry of your Spirit tonight, would you please teach us? Would you give us encouragement, correction, whatever you see needs to be done in our hearts tonight? I pray that your work would be accomplished completely, that your word would have free course, that you would be pleased and honored by all that's said and done throughout the remainder of this service. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, thank you to all those that ministered in music last week as well, and we appreciate that. All right, every Christian family, and every church should have as part of its goals, as one of its goals, the desire that our worship and service would be pleasing to God, right? We want our lives, our service, our worship to be acceptable to God as individual Christians. We want our families to be pleasing to God. We want our church to be acceptable to the Lord. And yet we should maybe not be surprised if it were revealed to us, if we should learn that the Lord's perspective on much of what is considered acceptable worship and service is very different from many professing Christians' perspective on those things. Many so-called great churches, great music, great ministers, great preachers, and all kinds of ministry may not be so great in the Lord's righteous estimation. You see, God does not look on or judge after the appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Beyond that, God not only cares for the sincerity of our motives, that we do things for the right reason in our worship and service, but God also demands righteousness in our attitudes and our actions every day and in everything that we say and do. Tonight for our message, we're going to briefly explore this topic together, acceptable worship, and we're going to see how the Lord rejected His people's, Israel's, religious devotion, and He instead compelled them to replace their own form of worship with lives of obedience and righteousness. They were given God this, and God says, I don't want that. This is what I want. And we want to give God acceptable worship and service. And what we learn tonight is going to help us to see that the Lord will only accept service and sacrifice from righteous servants. And our righteousness is not just seen what we do when we enter the doors of a church building, you know, two or three times a week, but it is every day of our lives. So to guide our message tonight, let's consider two key ideas from our text. We'll note, first of all, the rejecting of religion. And then secondly, the replacing with righteousness. So let's begin with the rejecting of religion, verses 21 through 23. Now, if we go back to the preceding verses, earlier on in this chapter, not the immediately preceding, but verses even beyond that, but through this chapter, Amos has been warning the people of Israel, northern Israel in particular, that the day of the Lord's judgment was coming upon them because they didn't love the good and hate evil. Instead, they loved the evil and they hated those who rebuked their evil. And so Amos, in verse 4 and following, told the people that they should then seek the Lord and seek the good. Don't seek the evil so that they might live. So they've been warned of judgment. Amos says, you need to seek the Lord so that you might live. Seek the good, not the evil. Love the good, hate the evil. Well, upon hearing that, it seems then that God's people had come to this conclusion that they should then determine to show more devotion to the Lord by observing the feast, the yearly feasts such as Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles or booths, by offering more sacrifices and offerings to the Lord, by singing songs to the Lord, and even playing instrumental music for the Lord. In other words, God's going to judge us. He's told us to seek Him and love the good and hate the evil. So what we then need to do is get serious about religion and our religious devotion. And we need to observe these feasts, and we need to give these offerings, and we need to sing songs, and we need to play musical instruments. And it seems that the people's thought was that by showing more religious devotion, God would then accept them. And instead of passing through them and judging them, He might pass over them in judgment. That God might say, wow, this is great, this is acceptable, so I won't judge you. However, again, following the flow of the chapter, now Amos describes in verses 21 through 23 how these people's thinking was wrong because the Lord utterly rejected their religion. He said, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beast. The Lord hated and despised their feast days. And there's an emphasis here. You read that possessive pronoun repeated throughout this. Yours, your feast days, your burnt offerings, your songs, all these things. basically, the idea was this, that these feasts, as they were observing them, were no longer the Lord's feasts. Instead, it was as during the time of Jesus' earthly ministry. If you remember how John described those feasts, as we've been studying the book of John, he said this was a feast of the Jews. In other words, God didn't have anything to do with it anymore. It was just the Jews going through their religion. So God hated and he despised their feast days because they were no longer the Lord's feasts. And also their solemn assemblies. Their solemn assemblies. The word for solemn assemblies there literally means days of restraint. In other words, they would set aside their work, their other things. They would restrain themselves from doing other things and they would assemble for a solemn assembly. They didn't do any work. However, the Lord didn't attend these solemn assemblies. And as he goes on to explain in verse 22, in these solemn assemblies, when they offered sacrifices to the Lord, when they offered burnt offerings, meat or food offerings, and peace offerings, the Lord would not smell them as a sweet savor. He says, and you read in Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 9, and the Lord talked about how he would smell these offerings and they would be a sweet smelling savor to him. God says, I don't even want to smell it because it doesn't smell sweet. We could probably insert here, it stinks. God says, I despise your feast days. You offer me these burnt offerings, I won't even smell them. One commentator observed here regarding these offerings, quote, significantly, there is no mention of the sin offering or the trespass offering. The people were insensitive to their guiltiness. So they're offering sacrifices and offerings to the Lord as if everything's okay. God says, I don't want any of it. Verse 23, take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy viols or viols. The Lord told how he found their singing, that would be their vocal music, to be but a noise. He said that he would not even listen to their music, that is their instrumental music, their vocal specials or their instrumental specials. God says, it's just noise to me. I'm not going to listen to it. In other words, God was fed up and sick of the whole thing. He was tired of his people's religion. And the same thing, the same description is given in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 11 and following. It's a little bit lengthy, but I'd like to read it. The Lord said, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is as an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear you. Your hands are full of blood. God says, I reject your religious devotion. Now think with me a moment. Today we would welcome the change if everyone in our country started praying, attending church for every service, keeping the Lord's Day, giving tithes and offerings, singing hymns, and even bringing vocal and instrumental specials. Could you imagine if that took place in our country? Everybody's in church. Everybody's giving offerings. Everybody's singing songs, doing special music, playing offertories. We'd say, that's great. However, as we learn from Israel's example, this would in no way guarantee that the Lord was pleased. or that he would turn away from the judgment that he had promised. Because God wants more than religion. In our lives as born-again believers, in our homes, and in our churches, we also learn here that God does not accept every act of devotion. Not everything is acceptable worship. In fact, we too, as God's redeemed new covenant people, can become, in fact, sickening to God, to where even our praying, our singing, and our music can become just an annoying noise. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1. Paul said, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." Many commentators say that his idea there is that it's just a noise, that God hears it and he says, "It's just a noise. Take away the noise. I don't want to hear it." Some even go as far as to say that it's those gongs and things would be used in idol temples. And God's saying, "You think you're worshiping me, but what you're doing is equivalent to just idol worship. And I have no more regard for it than that." Revelation 3:16. "So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." There's an obvious implication there. God doesn't like what he tastes, right? You don't spit something out of your mouth if it's good. It's like, "Man, that's great!" No, it's you spit it out because it's sickening, right? It's distasteful. And God says that of a church, a local church. So there's the rejecting of religion. But secondly, and finally tonight, there is the replacing with righteousness. Verse 24. "But in contrast to what you are doing, let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream." If you look back with me at verse 7 of this chapter, as Amos is challenging God's people to repent, to turn to him, he described Israel as these: "Ye who turn judgment to wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth." In verse 5, he said, "Seek not to Bethel or Gilgal or to Beersheba." Those places were places of idol worship. So the people had been guilty of injustice, unrighteousness, idolatry. In verses 11 and 12, Amos cited the people's mercilessness. They were abusing the poor. So he's saying, "You're committing all these sins," and the Lord says, "I know your sins, every one of them. You are turning judgment to wormwood. You're leaving off righteousness, and judgment's going to come." And the people hear that, and they think, "Okay, so the Lord means that we should get serious about going to church. That we should, you know, sing specials and give offerings and be at church every time the doors are open and pray and do all these things. We should give more religion." But God says, "No, I don't want the religion. I'm sick of that." Instead, he tells his people in verse 24 to, in a sense, replace their religious devotion with true righteousness. In spite of the people's injustice, unrighteousness, idolatry, and mercilessness, they had continued going through the motions of religious devotion to the Lord. And in fact, it seems that they even upped their game, so to speak, because they thought that was what was going to avoid the judgment. But God says, "Look, instead of offering sacrifices and songs, let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream." What does that mean? Well, it's basically the exact opposite of what is described in verse 7. They were turning judgment to wormwood. They were leaving off righteousness in the earth. And the way to amend that was not by trying to cover it over with religious devotion. In other words, God says, I want you to do justly. I want you to do right. Execute justice and righteousness. He wanted his people to be just and righteous in all their dealings, in all their living, not just at their solemn assemblies. And as those words, let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream, as those words implied, this was not to be an ebb and flow, hit and miss, Sunday morning only righteousness. It was to be like an unceasing flow of running waters, like a mighty stream that didn't fail. It was just constant justice and righteousness. This was to be the constant flow of their lives. One commentator said here, the thought is that of consistency. Cedron, the brook Kidron or Cedron, was a winter brook. But righteousness should never be seasonal. You can never overstock the market with morality and honesty. God was calling for social justice and personal integrity. Without these, religious activity is a sham that grieves his heart. And this is why I go back to what we said earlier. We'd say, man, if everybody just start going to church, and if everybody in America would just start going to church, attending prayer meeting, praying, giving offerings, singing hymns, the great hymns of the faith, you know, singing special, then our nation would be pleasing to God. Well, that might be an outflow, but it begins with righteousness. It begins with getting right with God and living that way. You see, as it was with Israel, God is not impressed with religious ritual apart from daily consistent holiness and righteousness. God is not so interested in novel names like New Spring, the River, the Well. But God is interested in His people letting judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream 7 days a week. Every day, always. And this was what the Lord called His people to do through Isaiah. Isaiah verses 11 through 15. God basically says the same thing He does here. I'm fed up with all your offerings. I don't want to hear your prayers. I don't want any more of any of this stuff. It says your hands are full of blood. And here's what this was how it's to be amended. Verses 15 and following. He says, wash you. Make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Those words were written to God's people. God was fed up with His people's religion, and He called them to stop, to change their ways, and to be cleansed. Again, one preacher said here, believers could fall into the same trap as the Israelites and be content with the externals of religion. It is important to be earnest in the routine of assembly life, but living as a Christian is a 24-hour-a-day matter. In our interaction with work colleagues, neighbors, and family members, integrity and generosity must be top priorities. Thus, those who partake of the Lord's Supper must examine themselves. Those who participate vocally in the prayer meeting must have holy hands. And those who are engaged in the spread of the gospel must let their conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ. To be seemingly punctilious in our attitude to God's things and yet unethical in day-to-day living is inexcusable. Behavior in connection with the ordinary must be consistent with what might be described as the spiritual and religious. For it to be otherwise is as displeasing to God as were the inconsistencies of the people in the days of Amos. Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Wherewithal shall I come before the Lord, and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? Rather than religion, God wants righteousness, mercy, humility, and consistent fellowship with God. The Lord said to Saul through Samuel, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Obedience is the very best way to show that we believe. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." He said, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." We want that closeness, that fellowship with God, but it begins with righteousness, obedience. "If you keep my commandments," Jesus said, "ye shall abide in my love, and even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Paul told Timothy, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." James said, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Instead of living in sin and having our religion, our way, which God hates and despises, let's let righteousness flow unceasingly, consistently from our lives, so that our worship then may be acceptable to him. Lord, thank you for admonishing us through your word tonight. Lord, we know that you are pleased with devotion when it comes from a life of righteousness. And our message tonight, Lord, was not necessarily for the sensitive, for the tender conscience, for those who are seeking to daily walk with you. But Lord, there is the danger for us to grow callous and to be deceived into thinking that our religious devotion in church services and services like this are what it's all about. This is an important part of it, Lord, but it must be coupled together with daily obedience, daily righteousness, fellowship with you. I pray that we might offer you acceptable worship each and every day, Lord, whether therefore we eat or drink or whatever we do, may we do it all to the glory of God. And as we meet together, Lord, may you smell a sweet savor of Christ in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.